Hello, I'm Mike Hodgson. I'm the CEO of Serabi Gold, and pleased to actually give a presentation again to Crux Video. I'm here at the Lito mine in the Tapajós, and happy to give you an update of where we are after our successful first quarter of 2024.
Yeah, good start of the year. Not a bad last year as well. So, but let's start with gold at the moment, okay? I will get into the numbers, but obviously the gold market, gold price for producers, which you are, has changed the fortune of many. I mean, how are you viewing this? How are you? Were you expecting it to rip so quickly?
No, I don't think anyone was.
Very honest.
But for us, you know, it's not just the gold price in dollars; it's in reais. We're through 12,000 reais an ounce this time last year. It's 5,000. You know, normally there's been a natural hedge between the real exchange rate, the dollar, and the gold price. So, you know, gold price goes up and everyone thinks, oh, you guys are making, you're killing it. Normally the real strengthens and our costs are 85%, 95%, 90% in reais. We normally get a little bit of a compensation. Therefore, we don't really see that those bigger sort of margins people might think we do. This time, you know, last year the real, I think we averaged about 5.15. It's still sat above 5, and we've got this gold price as well in dollars and in reais, which is great. We're now 12,000 reais an ounce. Never been anywhere near that before. I mean, okay, it's only been a month like that, but you know, if it continues like this, you know, Q2, Q3, we're going to enjoy it, and it's going to be you're right. Goes to our bottom line. We've got two mines. There's a big fixed cost there in our operations with labor and power. And therefore, you know, if you simply have gold price going in Brazilian reais, yeah, it goes to the bottom line.
Happy days, okay, happy days. But with mining, there. Well, actually, why don't we sort of talk about Q1 numbers? I was there; they were good. But just remind us what those numbers were.
Okay. Well, we're on our guidance for 2024 is 38,000 ounces. We have programmed or budgeted to have a 9,000 ounce Q1, a 9,000 ounce Q2, and then 10,000 Q3 and Q4. That's as Coringa begins to kick in more. And hopefully people remember that we're scheduling to have an ore sort, a crushing plant and ore sort. We revised our process at Coringa. Palito's steady state doing its things has done for many, many years, you know, a 25,000 ounce mine. Coringa is going to ramp up, and we changed the process flow sheet. People recall that we're now not going to build a great big process plant that would cost us probably today $30, $40 million. We're going to just simply put in a crushing plant, which we've got, which we've nearly overhauled, and an ore sorter, which we've already got one at Palito. We're going to replicate it, put it in at Coringa, and that's going to be up and running at the end of Q3, which means in Q4, we're going to have a bit of a bumper quarter because we're going to have a lot of stockpile ready to put through that ore sorter as well. And in the meantime, so, you know, we're on target to actually be on guidance. That's great news. On the ore sorter itself, very pleased to say that it was purchased, obviously, in end of Q4 last year and Q1, so we spent a bit of money doing that. It's already arrived in Brazil, sailed through customs, which is an absolute wonderful news, because quite often these things can get, you know, trapped in customs in Brazil, sailed straight through. It's on its way to site. Fantastic. The actual crushing plant is being renovated too. So we think we'll have the crushing plant up and running early Q3, which will be fantastic. And then the ore sorter will be dovetailed in, joined up. And by end of Q3, we'll have the ore sorter up and running. That'll be tremendous.
Okay. So but bumper Q4 potentially for you guys, which is fantastic. So I think, you know, at the very least, you know, you're saying, well, reasonably confident about hitting guidance, which is good, and may be able to do a bit more. That kind of leads you into 2025, obviously, where you're starting from a very different position. What are the other things going on in terms of being able to increase that production and move through? Because we talked, look, before COVID came along, before, you know, supply chain issues happened and restriction of movement of people, etc., came along, you were talking the game of being able to kind of build this thing, both projects up, add the ounces and grow this into, you know, 45, 50, 60,000 ounces. People got excited about that. How do you go from where you are today to being able to deliver that?
I've got to do all this in order. There's a lot to sort of get through here. Okay. Back this time last year, even earlier, our stock was sitting, we had a market cap of like $20 million. We were down at 22p a share. It was tough. This is what the plan we're doing today, and still is our plan, is what we call the capital light plan. It's our pathway to 60,000 ounces because we can do it out of the treasury. That's it. The plan was quite simply this year 38,000 ounces, then ramping up and get to 60 over the next 2 years. So probably next year mid to high 40s. The year after, a big hole in 60. How are we going to do that? We don't need to do a thing at our process plant at Palito. All we need to do is build, put in a crushing plant and the ore sorter at Coringa and ramp up Coringa. That's it. So we'd have two mines, one doing 25, the other one doing 35 or 30, around there. That'll be it. That plan is a really good plan. It's because the road got paved. It's because the trucking cost collapsed. And it's because we have capacity at the Palito plant because of Sao Chico falling away. We had space. And if we could feed the plant with high quality, high grade, pre-concentrated or sorted ounces, we can squeeze more gold through that plant and get it up to 60. That was the plan. Now, one thing that we want to do, as well as doing all of that, is we are going to do a new resource update and a new reserve and a new PEA this year with NCL, who just did our one at Palito. The reason we're doing that is we don't have a public document to support what I've just said. So the whole idea is to have a PEA in the market early Q3, obviously. Now, that could become important. I'll come on to why in a second. We also believe at the end, so all these things are coming together at the end of Q3. We're going to have the ore sorter operation at Coringa. We're going to have a PEA in our hands. I also believe that the LI, the long-awaited LI, now we're operating Coringa under the trial mining license, which is absolutely fine. The LI is not going to change a thing with what we're doing at Coringa. All it'll do is it gives us the option, I suppose, down the track to build the full process plant. But what it does, it takes away the final, you know, missing piece of the jigsaw in Coringa. And I would say at that point, the company would be fully valued. It would be completely de-risked. We'll have a new 43-101 at Palito. We'll have a new 43-101 at Coringa. We'll have an LI at Coringa. The company would be at that point fully valued, wherever that be. I also think, so having all these things in our hands, you know, the next step would be, well, you know, you're taking 3 years to ramp up to 60,000 ounces. Now, you know, what could we do? We could do better than that. We could do an accelerated plan, which means the reason it's taking 3 years is because we're doing it at Treasury. Each year, we are actually doing something, like this year, a capital project. This year, we're doing the ore sorter and the crushing plot. Next year, it will be opening up the second mine at Coringa to actually have that next leap in production ounces. The third year, we'll be putting in a ball mill at Palito to actually, you know, get us up to maximum, which takes us beyond 60 and get us up to 70. And that's important because the two mines really, one's a 30,000-ounce mine, the other one's a 40,000-ounce mine. So 60 will not quite do it. We need a little bit more. Now, but 60 was a good first base to get to, and then maybe a little bit more. If we had additional funding or additional funds, we could do all this a lot faster. We could try and do it all in 2025, for example. So, you know, as our share price has come up, it does make that possibly an option. It also means access to debt would probably be better. But hey, if this gold price keeps running, we might fund it out of margin. So, you know, that's what we're getting quite excited about. And, you know, so what, you know, this year, 38. Next year, I'd say over 45. The year after, hole in 60. That's the plan. But as I said, we might be able to improve on that if we can actually accelerate it even more.
So the ambition's there. And I think you, like quite a few companies, the past 3 years have been, you know, obviously cash constrained. We've talked about the desire to, but not necessarily the ability to fund exploration. And I'd like to talk about that in a second in terms of, you know, what else is coming down the line on that front. But I can't have that conversation without talking about the Vale announcement. Now, they've said that they are not going to go forward. I know it was only like a 12-month agreement, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Is that right? Right.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Maybe explain to people what that agreement was and then maybe why Vale have kind of stepped away from that project and what that tells us, or, you know, how that informs us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit frustrating because we were going on very well. We've been marked down a fair bit for this bit of news. It really is such a sideshow for me. I don't know why people have reacted to it so
well, explain
badly.
Explain it to them. Explain it to them. Because I think people think, well, the principal expectation, oh, Valley comes in, or Rio comes in, or BHP comes in.
They're going to buy the company.
But the reality is BHP, Rio, and Valley, they have 20, 30 of these things on the go at any one time.
They
need big. They need big projects. So they want different things from you. But at the same time, it's a good endorsement if things go right. So what has something not gone right for them?
Well, it was a great endorsement at the time when the company was struggling with permitting at Coringa, and we had some sort of negative press at the time, which was untrue. But Valley coming in, it was great timing in many ways because they came in, and I think people then thought, well, a company like Valley aren't going to invest in a company that's actually misbehaving or anything like that. So it really did serve a purpose for that reason. The details of the deal, 12-month deal, 12-month alliance, we agreed that they were interested in a copper porphyry deposit that we have called Matilda. We had drilled it, got three holes into it, and it was very interesting. That's what they wanted to do. We have no interest in copper. We have no interest in large-scale copper like that. We would blow our brains out trying to do something like that. So it has to be handed over to a big company to do that. What we want, and there are an overwhelming amount of opportunities in and around Palito of gold prospects. We had seven tenements, of which Matilda was one. There were six others that were all gold prospects or contained gold prospects that had either been artisanal mines or had lots of mineral occurrences that certainly looked like it. And we were at the point, as in many a country, Brazil is no different, you can't sit on exploration ground forever. We had seven tenements that we actually had to do work on in 2023 and submit final exploration report February 2024 to either continue with the ground or give it up. We wanted to continue with all seven of them. So what Valley did, the agreement was they spent $2.5 million on Matilda, and then they gave us $2.5 million.
Hunting for copper.
Yeah. Yeah, hunting for copper.
Hunting for copper.
Yeah, only copper.
Okay.
And then half of the budget was to be given to us to actually drill out a work on the other six. And we did that.
Hunting for gold.
Gold. Small, higher grade. Right. Gold, our copper, stuff. Which they gold. Have absolutely no interest in whatsoever. No interest in whatsoever. So they drilled. So that's what the funding was used for. We successfully submitted the reports. We have actually found or moved forward two or three of those six gold tenements, which look super interesting. Two of them in particular, Sao Domingos, which we did a press release on last week, which looks really interesting, and another one called Calico, which is very near the Palito plant. And that does look like a has all the hallmarks of being another Palito. Why is that important? It's super important because we are a company with two mines, a one process plant. And, I've talked to you earlier on about, how we're going to get to 60,000 ounces, maybe 70,000 ounces by plant expansion at Palito. The LI that we get at Coringa will actually give us the opportunity to build a plant at Coringa should we so wish down the track. But, really, we need more plant capacity, I believe, not too distant future. And therefore, we need to know, are we going to find more ounces in another Palito near Palito? Or are we going to grow Coringa and find more ounces at Coringa? Because we're either going to put a plant at Coringa to actually create space at the Palito plant or make the Palito plant even bigger. So the gold exploration in and around Palito, which is what the Valley money was used for, was really all about trying to begin the path, put us on the path to actually realizing the potential in and around Palito. So why did Valley not continue? I can't say too much about what's going on within the internal part of Valley, but it's they're going through their challenges, and there's a lot. As you
this is which division of Valley are we talking
Valley
about?
Based metal, Valley based metals. Yeah,
got it. Okay.
And if you read about Valley based metals, it's a bit of they've got their challenges at the moment, and there's about 20 odd companies like Sarabi waiting on what Valley wanted to do. Even if Valley had continued with the agreement, they wouldn't help us anymore on gold. They were off copper. They just continue with Matilda, drilling out Matilda, which at a very slow rate. So it served its purpose. That's it. And probably now we are looking at getting a more suitable partner in to help us with the greenfield exploration, which might be a company that's actually probably more interested in the gold. Ideally, a company that probably wants big gold, And if we keep finding smaller gold deposits, which I think we will, that'll benefit us, and probably they'll do that. So anyway, let's see. We're talking to a number of companies who want to pick up where it left off. But as far as I'm concerned, it was a great arrangement. It served its purpose, and it's run its course, and that's it. And I think it's what you say. People see them leaving as some kind of negative endorsement to us. Not at all. I think they just probably decided, well, maybe after 21 holes, Matilda wasn't going to be as easy as they thought, and therefore they think they can find an easier copper target somewhere else.
Okay, so price is down. The market should not be marking down for the Vale thing. I mean, one, because it happens all the time, but two, it gave you the budget on the gold component, not the copper component, $2.5 million to explore the six tenements, which you'd have lost if you'd not spent money. And you were cash constrained and you couldn't spend money on. So they fulfilled a purpose. And then two or three of these tenements you're going to keep on, one of them being close to the
existing. We're going to keep all six on, but two or three are looking
good. Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, no,
two or three are looking good.
Yeah,
okay,
two or three are going to be prioritized. Yes, yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I totally get it. Okay, so you've explained how you're going to work towards the, you know, 60,000, possibly further. Route over the next couple of years. The question there for you is how it's financed in this current growing price environment, because it's kind of straight to the bottom line, but it's also I hate to use this phrase, it's not entirely true, but you know, it's free money for producers.
Can I just take you back, Matt? I mean, sure. 2.5 years ago we had this plan, and there was no way we could fund the development out of Coringa out of cash flow. Not a chance.
I think the thing I remember about you 2.5 years ago is trying to sort out your balance sheet with one of your major shareholders who wanted out. We were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we actually we started Coringa because we had a trial mining license there, and it was basically gun to the head, use it or lose it.
Yeah. Got it.
So we started developing Coringa. We hadn't got the money to do it. We thought, how the hell can we start this mine up? And the first plan, I was thinking about this the other day, was to drive down the decline, get to the first ore bodies, because there was no development there at all, just drill holes. If we get to the first two veins of the Cerrazo, put in some lateral development on vein, on the reef, on the vein, to actually demonstrate some continuity and get some confidence about the deposit, we could probably go to a lender or somebody and get some dough. That was the plan. Well, we just kept going, and the price kept going up, and the margin kept improving, and we kept going. And here we are today. We're building the whole bloody thing out of our... Okay, we've taken on a bit of in-country debt, $5 million, but we are essentially doing the whole thing out of Palito and now Coringa ounces. It's kind of self-funding. And 2.5 years ago, absolutely impossible. Now, it's getting even better. So all the free cash flow we're generating is going back principally into Coringa, to do all the things we thought we'd have to borrow money from or raise equity on. And this was because the company just, you know, with a share price where we were, and with the permit, actually not even having a truck, having the underground mining permit still it's still basically at risk. There was no way we could borrow money, and there was no way we could raise money. We had to do it all out of our gold production funded everything. Well, you know, three good things have occurred now. The gold price has gone up. We've got the underground mining license, and we've obviously got the ore sorter coming. So, you know, and hopefully we'll have a new PEA in Q3, and we'll have the ore sorter up and running. And it's just going to get, you know, better and better. So if the gold environment continues in parallel to all of that, it's good times are coming.
Can agree more. I'm going to stop it there, because I think we've covered everything I wanted to cover. I think there's a lot of positives there. And it's amazing what a little bit of money allows you to do. Because I kind of think back, you always knew what you wanted to do, but being cash constrained is a case of sort of juggling things around and picking the you know, it's like picking the best of a bad option, really. You know what I mean? In terms of you've got a restricted set of tools on the table with which you can work, and you've got to kind of get through it. And sometimes the markets do that to you. But I think now it kind of feels like for gold, should be a good year. People are looking at gold investing, and the first thing they're looking at is at gold producers. So, well done. More of the same, please. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Yeah, we're good. You know, as I said, we're not overwhelmed with cash. I mean, you know, but in the past it was always, do we drill those five drill holes, or do we, you know, do another 50 meters of ramp at Coringo? It was literally that level of, you know, what could we had a little bit of money left each month to do something, and that was it. And at least now we can, you know, do a modest brownfield exploration program, you know, and continue the development of Coringa. And as I said, we've got the toys coming to obviously get the plants up and running, and that'll be great. And so, you know, all being well, we'll have a very kind of pivotal Q3 where the PA will be done, the full license will finally arrive to sort of de-risk the company, or basically fully value the company, and we'll be switching on the ore sorter. So I'll be looking forward to that day. That'll be a real milestone for us.